Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire, and I am here with the entire KTOD for the 21st KTOD Radio Podcast. This is crazy. Justin, what's going on today?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm well rested. I'm not hating these afternoon recording sessions. I woke up at like 5:15 a.m. with some PTSD and was like, hey, pod, what's going on? Why am I not missing it? And then forgot that it was Maddie's birthday this weekend, and we needed a later recording session. So I'm hyped. I'm hyped about set three. I'm hyped about a lot of things, Star Wars Unlimited.
And Maddie, it's your first podcast as a 36-year-old. How's that going?
My God. Feels pretty good, man. I also woke up early. I woke up at 4:50 in a hotel room with no dogs, no kid, and I was like, didn't know what to do. I kept being like, there's something I need to be doing. Instead, just got to lounge out, hang out with my wife. It was a good time. Good.
You hopped on Discord. Let's not lie. 4:50.
Oh, yeah.
You were on there heavy.
Yeah. I did my morning routine, got in the deck threads, you know, got in the bizarre thread. Shout out to that game. That's been pretty fun. But yeah.
I thought it was funny. Like, you on like Friday or whatever, you were like, hey, birthday weekend this weekend. Like, I probably will check in like Monday or Tuesday Discord. And everyone's like, yeah, have a great time. Like, enjoy the birthday. And like every thread, you're just like, hey guys,
I can't help myself, man.
Can't stay away.
Nice. And Steve, you get a little more light this day in this time of the afternoon, this time of day.
Yes. You know, contrary to Justin's feelings for today, I am very disappointed to be doing this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, I am with my glass of wine. I am ready for bed. Like, let's just get this over with.
Oh no! Is it 1 minute in? We have to like not mention alcohol within like the first minute of the podcast or whatever for YouTube.
We made it.
Okay. Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's like, do you mention alcohol in the first 1 minute of your podcast? No ads.
No, we definitely made it. That was more than a minute.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. This is not a regular iced tea. That's all I'll say.
Mm. You love the iced tea.
This water's been sitting on my desk for days, but that's okay. It's still good.
It's always good. So we got a lot to talk about since we last podcasted. Boba was banned.
Suspended.
I think we suspended. Yeah. We talked a little bit about it on the previous podcast.
When did that happen? I missed that.
And, you know, I think we talked about it plenty. I don't know if there's anything more you guys want to say about it. But as we discuss later on, it's more like now there are a reason to play other decks in Fill and Yellow. Because my big thing was never the results. It was always the fact that there was really no reason to play anything else in those colors. Even though the meta was kind of diverse in the fact that like you could play four different versions of Boba Fett. They were very different.
That was the problem. And it was perfect. It came perfectly for set three because there are other viable options for villain as we saw with Mikey this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I want to do our standard shout-outs to what we've got going on. We've got the KTOD YouTube channel. We're putting out videos every Monday and Thursday, as well as a podcast every other week. If you're watching this, hopefully you've seen something we've got going on. Justin had a hot top 10 cards of set 3. I did Meta Staples. Maddie had a Quinlan deck. Our YouTube videos have actually been popping off this week. I think there's a lot of hype. Oh, look, my pre-release guide had 10K views. Cool. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's hot. And then if you didn't know, Maddie has a YouTube channel of his own. He's got a every Tuesday. How do you describe your YouTube channel, Maddie?
I would describe it as a little bit of Maddie unfiltered, a little bit of hair down. Editor Maddie takes a break. We hang out. We talk swoo. I do a lot of, like, you know, general, like, advice about the game, and then we do some fun stuff like tier lists and talk about hobbies and stuff like that. But if you're looking to get better or looking to have a good time, it's a good place to come hang out and spend some more time with me.
The thumbnails are fire, I will say that.
The thumbnails are so good. Like, it's sometimes like it makes my morning just seeing those thumbnails. The Belichick one was so good.
For this
the Karate week. Kid was so good. Like, we sometimes get to see him earlier, and it's fire.
Yeah, everyone's loving Maddie's videos. And then also want to shout out our sponsor, MetalFabTokens.com. He was DMing me all these hot new tokens. He's doing oversized tokens for streaming. He's got his amazing Star Wars Unlimited tokens anyway. And then he also dropped these bad boys, these clone and battle droid.
Yeah, those look so sick.
Yeah, they're sick.
Well, I'll tell you, I've gamed with the boys a bunch this morning. And we pulled on the tournament prep. We grabbed this bad boy. Let's show him right here.
Oh, yeah. I was going to talk about that next. Right. Yeah.
It was a sick poll. It was live on the tournament prep. We were super pumped. So obviously the kids have wanted to make Rex decks, and we've gamed this morning, but the Metal Fab tokens are insane. Not just these ones, obviously the Clone Trooper ones, but there's so many abilities, like Rex's static plus zero plus one. Mm-hmm. That's a token on a Metal Fab. It's like the you flip it over,
yep,
and then you've got
these green ones right here, yeah.
The units. No, but like there's a plus
oh, zero, yeah, there's plus a plus one, plus,
plus
oh, one, yeah.
Plus zero. There's like, oh, yeah, you can kind of see them in the top right, although there's just all these different ones. So it was super cool to like play with all these abilities, have the stuff going, like had some Sentinel action going on, like epic actions, shields were happening. Yeah. It was a good morning of battling.
It's hot. Yeah, and then Justin, you opened a showcase on stream, as did Maddie. You guys both were streaming live in the Discord.
That's one thing I wanted to pop in and say is like with the new sets, one of the most fun things is we like open up our boxes and cases and stream, and like people do it too and make their own streams, and opening those live is like always super fun and everyone goes wild. And
yeah, it's so fun because like you get a showcase opening, you get like other like sick openings like hyper foils. I got this is for the draft hang. Me and Maddie are like all about the product.
I'm gonna probably open these up tonight on stream. Actually,
okay. You're opening more boxes.
I didn't open my whole case yet.
I've got more boxes here, but I'm not opening them. I'm saving them for stream. I ordered singles, boys. Sorry, I can't take this distribution anymore. I can't do it. I've been doing a lot of trading too, which is hot. I got you guys so many awesome legendaries. I do got any trades, but I'm mostly trading for you guys now.
Appreciate it because I don't have a lot.
All right, I want to shout out, we're having another draft hangout. We did this for set two. We're doing this for set three. It's a Patreon subscriber-only free draft. We'll be announcing details about the date and time in the Discord, but we are doing another draft. So like I just said, my boxes are being saved for the draft hangout. So we're going to have anyone who wants to come to Worcester, and if that's our subscriber, you can come and hang out and get a free draft on us and tons of prizes.
And get the sick thing, too, is...
Too.
Yeah, the food was good.
Cheese.
That was solid. The cool thing too is like when we opened that case, we knew there wasn't a showcase, so we saved it and freaking Adam pulled it. Like
we knew that there was probably a showcase in the packs. Yeah.
And we saved it, and he got it, and that was really cool. That was fun. Yeah. TBD on where this one will be. If you're in the Discord, you'll find out. But yeah, should be super fun.
Yeah, and I wanted to shout the tremendous work of Justin and Symbiote, because now every subscriber who comes to our draft hangout once per person is going to get this insane Ralph McQuarrie Return of the Jedi playmat. That's
fire.
Is a playmat. And I wanted to shout out.
I've been waiting for us to be able to say this.
Yeah, this is insane. We have them in the mail. They told me the date is going to work. So if you were a subscriber to Hyperloops, you know that my first mat was a McQuarrie. A New Hope mat. My second mat was a McQuarrie Empire Strikes Back mat.
That one's
this is my favorite art of all.
I kind of want that one.
Yeah, I have a ton. Yeah.
Okay.
You can have whatever ones you want.
Sweet.
Anything McQuarrie is just dope.
Yeah. It's dope.
This KTOD one is freaking fire. Yeah, I now, love the orange on the oh my god.
Yeah, it matches the explosion perfectly.
Yeah.
Like it fades the same way.
Yeah, I have McQuarrie R up in my office. I'll actually take this right off the wall since it's within reach. But like, I have the framed Empire Strikes Back ones up in my office.
So the reason I went with Return of the Jedi is my older brother had those growing up. He had like the printouts.
Yeah, that's what I have. Yeah,
1985 or whatever. And I guess you probably got them in 83, but they're all like the same, and they like follow like chronologically the storyline.
Yeah,
and then you have some characters just like look very different, like. You know, because they're new to that movie or whatever.
They yeah, all the aliens in Return of the Jedi. It's all concept art, right? It's all
right.
Yeah.
So even the Mon Cal ship's sick. Like a little bit different than they do in this. But like, yeah,
that's the sick thing about having this community and like being able to like show you guys like that our like gratitude for all this. Like we now have like a freaking KTOD mat that you can come and help us and get one. Like that is so cool.
I'm pretty hyped. We've been talking to
and FFG. we went premium. We had two vendors and we went up. We scaled up. There was a price point. There was one that was like, hey, discount. It was one of those ones. It was like, hey, this looks really good. And we're like, yeah, but you know what?
Yeah, we shelled out for the more expensive.
$3.99.
$3.99? Is that what you just said?
No, I think you said $3.99.
No,
free. $3.99. Oh, $3.99. I've never heard that before. No, these are free.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, these are free.
I feel like it was like a Friday reference or something like that. One of those movies
maybe
back in the day.
I'm just hyped that we can finally do KTOD mats for subscribers. Yeah. So if you're ever coming to one of our events this year, we'll give you one. It's one per person. So like, if you come to multiple draft hangouts, you're only getting the one. We didn't print a million, but hopefully this is the start of us making our own stuff. The FFG mats are great.
We have the world's mat made as a preview. You're not seeing that today, but if you're a subscriber, you're part of the crew, and you're the Galactic Championship, that is going to be a one of one with the specific date location we know is Vegas. I'm pretty hyped for that one, but that's right. the hype is
did
growing.
Did you order enough for all of our subscribers in case everyone shows up?
Yeah, I mean, if 1,200 people show up, 1,200 people will get them.
We might burn the remaining one.
Burn it down, baby.
All right, so we can move on to my showdown. Steve, I played Jango Fett at my showdown. That was for
who
you.
Needs
he
Boba?
Wasn't
looking. Yeah, Jango, baby.
You know, it was a small showdown. I was hoping for more people because it was the first of set one, but I played the Jango space deck that, like, basically the whole team was working on this week. There's an awesome picture of me there with three people on our Discord. We got Adam, Matt Lenz, and NJ Cuenca, my old Hyperloop partner. And yeah, it went really well. The Jango deck was really awesome. I went 4-0. I dropped one game in the finals, and I was pretty hyped to see so many people in the Discord. As you see, like, six out of the top eight were all people from the disco. And it was just fun. It was fun playing with set three cards, and it was a lot. It was a very diverse meta because everyone just played different stuff because there was no Boba. So look at that. There's only one duplicate of
Speed. It sounds really diverse. We traded Boba Fett for Jango Fett.
That is cool. Boba got suspended. A while back we did like the grades where we did the teacher thing. So like Boba got suspended. His dad got a phone call. His dad came to school and was mad. Like, he's like, why were you suspending my kid? I need to meet with the principal right now. Triple dark raid all over your face.
Yeah.
This is absurd. And yeah, it's cool. It's a cool deck.
Shout out to Ed, who made me this custom fire spray for X-Wing in the style of Jango. And you can see there's little Jango Fett inside.
Wait, I remember that. Yeah. Because you had that for PAX Unplugged 2019. Yep.
Yeah, he made me a special Jango Fett fire spray. Very cool.
That's sick. Yeah, I was going to say, watching some of the testing games, even when that deck was losing, it was like one action, very tight things, and like where like you're still getting a feel for the deck. So like that's like one, just to like talk about testing and the process, like win loss in testing is kind of like, it doesn't matter. It's like once there's so much internal data that you have to find before you start to figure that out. Like, so it's really one of those things of like, you know, if you feel like something's powerful and like this is the time to like look for those things, like, you know, run it through its paces and learn the lines, because like there are some really, like when your three drop ping ship becomes like the best card in the deck, like that is cool, and like that's stuff that you want to like highlight and try to like, you know, exploit. And I think Mike did a really good job with the help of the team.
Well,
and you know, yeah.
And I love I love a couple things about like a new meta or playing a new deck is like there's so much discovery in every game you play. Like if you can just like take your time, you learn all these new lines like as they're happening, and sometimes like you resource something and you go, oh, okay, actually if I kept that, I could have done this crazy line.
Yeah.
And then also just like making mistakes in playtesting. Like we were playing, I was playing from work and I was like making all these mistakes, but it gave you guys opportunities to be like, hey, you should have done this, don't do that, you're missing this. And that, even just like having those things in my head, like playing in a group where people can kind of like just feed you all the things you're doing wrong, it gives you a sort of thing in your head being like, okay, I can't make that mistake again. I have to make sure I do this cleanly.
And it's first of all, I think a couple things. One, I think Maddie mentioned this earlier, but set three dropping with the ban same weekend, I thought was brilliant by FFG to have those things coincide. Really exciting to play and build. And like, for instance, I woke up and was building decks and opened my cards, got to my other leaders, didn't just look for my like overlapping Fett's fire sprays. Like, I actually, like, we went to lunch the other day, Maddie. I was like, do you have more? Because I don't want to keep having proxies. And like now I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you know what? I think there's only one home for Fett's fire spray. Like, I don't need to. So like there's all this diversity of stuff. So that's really cool.
Right.
And then in terms of this specific deck, it's like the first one that we've kind of angled to that we're really excited about. But it's one of potentially many, right? Like we've talked about the Quinlan decks being good. and like new leaders, like you see Yoda's on this screen right here, like, and then like some old champs like Sabine Green's not going anywhere, neither is Rey, mm-hmm. but like Asajj Yellow, that immediately makes me want to think like Eagle One, what's up Eagle One, like you got Asajj four drop leader, is that like a cool, that's a cunning deck, right? Like that, is that gonna replace,
yeah, he played
like the Boba Yellow.
Could, we actually,
you know what I mean,
streamed in the Discord games this morning, and I played against Eagle One using this deck, and he's on the 26 point base, so when you flip Asajj and surprise striker, she hits for 9.
Oh wow.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Maybe 8.
No,
right?
But in all seriousness,
eight. Because
who's the guy wearing the green checkmate outfit?
Yeah, that's sick.
That's green. That's Matt. He's the guy that works at Meta with Zuckerberg, and he always wears those full body suits. He has the Dunkin' Donuts one.
That's
tough.
That's the Green Ranger from.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
That's the Green Ranger from Power Rangers.
Matt, let me know how to get in.
Very sad about
that. He sent me the link. He was showing me all the ones they have for the Avengers, for G.I. Joe, all these properties that they have. It's sick.
We should do a podcast just about the Green Ranger, both on in real life and on the show. Do you remember, Mike?
Like
it was a good 14 months that they like teased that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, in 13 months, the Green Ranger is coming. It's like, oh my.
It's because it was all already out in Japan. They could do that.
Oh, right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Oh, one thing I really wanted to say quick, just popping on Justin's point of like, it was really smart of the Green Ranger. It was really smart of FFG like to time it this way. When the Boba ban happened, our deck threads went bananas.
Went
like
wild,
every single. Freaking, I can't even keep up. I have like 12 or 13 ones that like I still need to like look and see what people say. I think it's actually closer to 20. Like every thread was just lighting up like a Christmas tree. So like
it
really
got people.
You gotta
wake up at 4:30 just to keep track of it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but like I thought we were starting to slow down and we just have tons more people coming in and hopping in the deck threads. It's been crazy.
Yeah, if you've joined recently, welcome.
Yeah, you'll be getting a DM from me soon. But like, in between me making this slideshow and us going live, I had to adjust the number 6 people for new subscribers.
But yeah,
all right. Speaking of the wide open meta, going back to the point I made at the top of the show, just you can now play yellow villain decks again with different leaders than Boba Fett. Who on this list do you think has legs? Like, obviously, I really like the Jango Red deck, the space deck. I think it's really good. I think it's a deck that's so good. It's gonna have a place this entire meta. But where else do you see decks, these leaders specifically, showing up?
I like CAD a lot. I don't necessarily love the red CAD. I like CAD in the green, sort of like the resupply. I think he's my lead right now. I also think Aphra could be really good. She's somewhat forgotten sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, she could be a 5-5 under good circumstances. And I think a lot of our energy around her early on was, like, control, like, sort of this restocky type thing. But I'm pretty curious about just, like, an aggro deck where you get a card back when you flip her. And, like, I am interested. Like, I do think that of these leaders, like we just talked about Asajj with like cunning, like yellow. I'm interested about what the villain, like double yellow deck is. Because we know
what's
Han
the new
is
double
it.
Yellow.
We know Han is one. And obviously you lose Fire Spray out of all these leaders except for Jango. So like, could it be, maybe it's Jango that does that.
Right.
It's a yellow, yellow Jango, yellow, yellow CAD, yellow, yellow Aphra. I don't
double
think
double yellow
it's
Aphra, if you can get
time.
Her to 5 attack, like that can hurt. And like with unmasking the conspiracy now, you can get two different cost cards into your bin, disrupt them, and then get one of those back later
and get it back to lose
the
value you lost.
Yeah,
and then and then she hits relatively hard. Like you're doing 5 and then you're doing bouncing, cunning, and all the usual stuff, Bodhi, and you know that could be pretty
good.
You
can actually really disrupt unmasking conspiracy, Bodhi, and freaking Bazine. That's a good start to disrupt them.
Yeah,
and
the cunning to discard if you go double yellow, and
well,
then there's another yellow discard. It's the it's random discard or get two battle droids.
Yeah.
So
and you start doing the, you know, are you McClunking? Are you a new adventuring? Like, how are you looping these things? Because like you do want to get different costs in and recur these things. And then cunning could be pretty strong. Wow, we just we just made that off the rip, boys.
Yeah,
right. I know. That could be good. Good. Afra content coming soon. And I will say it's cool because Afra's like a, you know, there's a lot of people that like Afra as a character.
Yeah, we just saw Cuenca playing on his Afra mat that he bought from me because he was so sad he sold his. Yeah, it's very early. I mean, I think that there's tons of stuff. I think, like, you know, Thrawn's interesting to me. Grievous is interesting to me. Cad's interesting to a lot of people. I think Asajj probably the one that's actually, like, probably Afra is the most slept on, but Asajj probably, you know, right behind her.
Yeah, I think it's just like her front side is kind of weird, but like if you can flip, if you can deploy her, like that first strike thing can be really busted. Because like the way the game works, like when, like I really think her front side is kind of trash. But she deploys on four and can first strike and pump herself. That part I like.
Yeah, I mean she's killing just about everything if you flip her that early and you have a surprise strike. So and then you could, you know, play breaking in, you could play all types of pumps.
Right.
Yeah, so I like it. And I think there's a lot of space, and I think there's a lot of space for these guys in all different colors, but I'm excited to explore all of them. I also
And this came with like new yellow cards too. So like you think about like breaking in and you know, that ship we had talked about, but there's other stuff too. There's Cad Bane. There are two of them. So you got to look at, like, could now there are two of them with Thrawn.
Basically, the two strongest legendaries are yellow. Yeah. You know? And one of them's yellow villain. So there's got to be something here somewhere. But, and I asked you guys what other decks that you were interested in talking about. We'll talk about the villains first. But you'd said Kira Bossk, and I was planning to talk about Palpatine. So where are you guys thinking about these? Because I've played all three of these this week. I really like where Palpatine's at. I think there's a lot of stuff you can do. But obviously, the Sabine matchup is just still untenable. Kira kind of good at everything. And then Bossk Blue control... you know, it's still really strong. It's one of the few control decks that can actually stand up to Sabine because of the double heal in top target. So where are you building with these guys right now? Where are you thinking about their place in the meta?
I think, like, you know, when you see someone like Boba leave, like, that's what drew me to Kieran Bossk. Is like, now we talk about what the best five deploy leaders are. And, like, early in a meta when people are trying to build these new decks, like, Bossk can really prey on it. Like, we see people in the deck thirds trying to build stuff around, like, something like a Shakti or, you know, like, new Sabine unit. And, like, you know, killing uniques with some of those bounties can be really, really strong. So Bossk is kind of, like, one of those mid-range, like, killers. Like, if you have kind of, like, an inefficient deck or, like, a creature-based deck, he can kind of prey on you. So I think that that's one thing that keyed me into him. And then I think like blue green villain is like just super good value. And Kira got some good early game, like almost too much good early game stuff where it's kind of hard to figure out. Like, for instance, her three jobs slot, like you have mana guards, you have Grievous, you have Death Trooper, you know, are you playing Hu Yang? The list kind of goes on there. So like, I think she is still really solid. So I would keep her in the green ECL. For Kira, but like they're five cost leaders, they love value, they beat up on inefficient decks that are still trying to find their footing in the meta, so you can clean up a lot of free wins with them, I feel like.
Yeah, I think Bossk in particular got a big boost in terms of like the EL version with the Maul, the new Maul being able to kill two people like some bounties, so I'm curious to see where that goes. One of the things that steers me away from Palpatine or Kira is conversation Justin and I were having last week where he was saying, you know, like, stop being a numpty and playing all these donkey decks you came up with, just play something aggressive. And I think especially with the fact that MOBA was banned, everyone's going to be leaning towards the aggressive side. And while that's not necessarily the worst meta for Kira, I do think it's a pretty bad option for Palpatine.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. I think he got a lot of help, but if the meta is super aggro, like obviously Palpatine's not where you want to be, but I think just like continuing to develop decks that can be good for certain metas is really important. I think, you know, we saw that at the end of the set 2 meta where like the space decks started to come up. It was something that like was one of the very first videos we made for set 2. It was Justin's space Boba deck, and it just like looped all the way around to the end. So like developing something early for when the meta kind of evens out and you can do something like play a palp is something I really like. He just got so many new tools in like all the tokens are so good for him. Poggle's
yeah, he
so
loves
good for
tokens.
Him.
Yeah.
It's just such a good draw engine. You can draw so many cards and get to your ramp in your late game. So if there is a meta for Palp, I think he can very quickly dominate.
Yeah, if everyone's beaten up on aggro and it becomes a mid game slugfest, then you can get a lot of free wins there with like a Palp deck. I get that.
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about some hero decks we're excited about. Steve, you said Yoda. Maddie said Han, specifically with green. Justin said Chirrut. And then I wanted to bring up Anakin because I've been really liking playing with Anakin. I was streaming with Anakin in the Discord this morning, and it was pretty awesome. I was really enjoying it and having a lot of fun. It's a fun deck to play. But Steve, talk to us about your new iteration of Mono Blue.
Yeah, I mean, going completely against what I just said in the last slide and ignoring Justin's advice. Yoda is my dude. This is like how I like Chewie in set one, I just always loved Yoda. I mean, I literally have do or do not, there's no try tattooed on my ribcage.
True.
So my goal this set is to see if I can make him competitive. I've been playing a little bit with a blue-red version with Almost Desperate Hour?
Almost Desperate Hour.
You're my only hope. Almost Desperate Hour.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you're my
it is your my only hope. I always call it Almost Desperate Hour, too. We're thinking of the Star Wars CCG card.
Yep. Yeah, back. That was
retrieve
your
Decon
2K deck, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Force it to.
I've been playing a little bit of that with Red, trying to sneak out an early Poe, and just trying to get some value out of that. I've also started week... brewing a little bit of a mono blue control, kind of similar to the Ray list, the Ray deck that I was doing before, but going a little bit more control-y. Still using our most desperate. I did it again.
You're my only hope.
To try to cheat out. Like I think that card is great in Yoda. I think trying to build the deck around the card is a mistake. However, if it's in your list and when the situation rises, you can get value out of it, I think that's where you want to go. Early on, I was just like so focused on sneaking out Poe on five. I realized like playing an early Han at early Obi-Wan, I'm sorry, at six is just as good. Playing an early Luke is great.
When
you have those Sabine matchups, cheating redemption to heal two turns early, I think trying to find the right balance of control while still having a little bit of a combo in the deck can be good, and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I like all that. I like how between Yoda being able to finally set up a You're My Only Hope and the now there are two of them, mm-hmm. which you can also do with Yoda if you want. It's just like we have some really fun other ways for decks to ramp that aren't green. And it's only a one-time ramp, so it's kind of like a little spike of a ramp, but it does let you get way, way ahead. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, on my personal channel, I did a yellow Yoda deep dive, and I know you had done one as well. I'm pretty sure you did, right, Mike?
No, I did Ray and Quinlan, but okay. similar stuff, just not, You're My Only Hope.
Yeah. Yoda looks sick.
What do you think about Han Green, Maddie?
So I like I like Han Yellow too, but one thing that I've kind of keyed in on, and it's similar core to the Quinlan deck, is Yellow Green Hero, I feel like has a lot of answers, and it's really about just kind of seeing where things go. One of the things that made Boba so good was the resource manipulation. You have that here, and you can kind of do the ramp thing with Han, with Marauders and with an early resupply or Spark of Hope. And then if the meta develops and goes later, you can do that Spark of Hope recursion plan to always kind of have your tech and your guys kind of live for the late game. But what I like about Han 1 is taking that idea of the conditional ramp and just using some of the great new green cards with your Hu Yangs and even just the old cards that you build this deck around, Bright Hopes. If people are playing space, I like having Bright Hopes, and I don't really super care if you tap it. It's gonna save me enough time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think one of the strongest things you can do is like manage your resources. And like, I think that Han sets up really well for that. And like, I want to be playing Plo Koon, and I think the green shell is good way to do that, I guess.
Yeah, you get home one, which lets you like,
oh yeah, home one, duh,
replay, yeah, Bright Hope, replay a Plo Koon on a long enough, yeah, timeline. So like, it's just the ultimate grind deck when you're able to play home one.
And I think one thing, like, you know, I was trying out like the Sabine, the new Sabine unit, but like, I think you can just like play Kira, and like, you have options. Like, you could do an Underworld McClunky package. Like, you could do, like, there's just, yeah, so many answers. Like, oh, there's a lot of space. All right, we're going to play Millennium Falcon, Bright Hope, the Marauder. And you know what I mean? Like,
I was thinking about that today. No one plays Hero McClunky. And like, yep, that's crazy. Because yeah, like,
because you can play Greedo. You can play,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a neutral card. You can play, you can rebuy a modded cohorts. Like, you could like attack with modded cohorts, then freaking McClunky it, because that's Underworld. You could even do like, Now Are There Two of Us stuff with Underworld, and get out an early Han,
yeah.
So like, I think
the one cost ship, you could play it bounce,
yeah, you could play the one cost 2/3,
yeah,
so you could have like Greedo that out there, and then, and just, yeah, so I think that's an unexplored thing, and so I like Han. I think the double yellow is still really good, but I like the green, and kind of like being able to kind of go late against some of these other mid-range decks and like never run out of threat. So kind of what I keyed in on there.
Yeah, and Justin, what are you thinking about with Chirrut?
Well, before I get into Chirrut, I have a question for you, Mike. Did you intentionally put Anakin in the creeper spot here? Or has been waiting to ask this question?
I thought it was, I was like, I can't fit Anakin. I wanted to talk about Anakin, but I really want to give those guys space.
Put him to the left.
I was like, I want to give these guys space to like, you know, talk about the things that they like. I feel like I talk a lot, so I'll just creep him. I'll just creep him in the back.
Now he's in the
closet. Picture is like so perfect for, like, he looks really like the kid, the young kid from freaking Wedding Crashers. Kind of.
Oh my god, I drew this picture.
Yeah. Oh man.
I like Chirrut yellow, not necessarily as a tier one, but it's an idea that's in my consciousness right now, essentially for a couple of reasons. R2 unit is really great to get the ball rolling on enchantments or upgrades, excuse me. So you can go like R2 into Jedi lightsaber, R2 into the new on top of things upgrade. You can jam like a Luke's lightsaber on R2 and make him attack for 5 early. So I like that. And then the discard, having Spark of Rebellion and also Unmasking the Conspiracy, being able to go up to 6 is really great. So it's sort of like a high risk deck where like you're jamming it, you're YOLOing it, and then you like hoping that you don't get early waylaid or whatever. But like, those numbers match up pretty well. For instance, we talk about that 4/6 stat line being important. Like, a Jedi lightsaber on Arch gets to 5, which is obviously you can get Fell the Dragon. But maybe you're looking on top of things. Then he's a 4/6 on turn 2, which is really great. And then you get to kind of do it again with Chirrut, because Chirrut's got those built-in protections. Chirrut is the one leader that doesn't die to Poe Wrecker. The 2-mana card, the 2-resource card that shows the lightsaber in the snow. What's that one?
It binds all things to heal him. It
binds all things is an Uno reverse card for Poe and Wrecker, because it actually just kills them.
Yeah.
And you're like, see you later, Uno reverse card. And then you play on top of things that can't be hit again. And you're just like really rolling at that point. So, and you get to like Spark, and you kind of like, you know, in Magic, I used to like you play Boggles. I like the Voice of Resurgence thing. Like, our region in New England was always like a control area. And those little decks that could kind of like have that little hexproof angle were always big. And I think this could be an angle. It's sort of like the Lurking Tie Phantom thing in another world. And then you've also got, there's that new protection enchantment. You could definitely, I wouldn't put that in the main, but in the sideboard, that on Chirrut can make him really huge. So I like the idea of just making this giant unit and having him mow things down. It's also super fun. It's a fun thing. You get to, if you're up against it, you can start chanting. One with the force with me. One with the force.
You can vibe out.
I want to do that at the, like, go to like a showcase and just like have that like a winning in and just be able to chant that over and over again. So it's kind of a fun deck, but I think it's like It's a fun deck, but I think there's something there too.
No doubt. I mean, we've talked about Yoda blue yellow, Ray blue yellow, Chirrut blue yellow. Like blue yellow hero is for real right now, and R2 and Plo Koon just like put it way over the Plo edge in terms of like what you can do. And yeah, I mean, like you know, some people bemoan R2 is like, oh, I don't even know what to find. I actually have been playing against a lot of people and doing some coaching sessions where they play R2 and they don't use his ability. I'm just like, you basically need to always use his ability. Like, unless you have the exact three perfect cards in your deck, like, you should always find one to get rid of. And the thing about Chirrut's deck is that you want to be able to find those upgrades, like you mentioned. You want to be able to find that it binds all things. Like, that's what turns him on. And one of the things that, like, was really tough about Chirrut in set one is just if we didn't find those things, he could die because we couldn't protect him. And now you just get to dig so much between.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
the
also
digging is so huge.
It's important to that point. It's important to understand that it's not necessarily the three cards as well. That if you have a card in your deck that is incredibly powerful, let's say it's Luke, let's say it's yellow, double yellow cunning, let's say it's whatever, that you are, if you look and discard and look at those top three, you are now three cards closer to drawing that card later in the game. So, like, it doesn't need to be in that top three if you're looking for a very specific, like, you have a very high power level card in your deck, which this game has, right? Cards like Overwhelming Barrage, which doesn't apply to R2, but, you know, Overwhelming Barrage and Cunning and all these different
things. Or combo. I mean, how many times do you think Chirrut loses when he gets a lightsaber, you know?
Right.
Like, probably very few. And if you find lightsaber plus it binds all things, like, you can pretty much forget about it. Or you know, if you're playing against a deck with Rivals Falls, like, finding that spark is just...
Right, finding your discard and then going off or having that ability. Yeah, I love R2.
R2's
top three card on my list.
Check out
Here's
Justin's
a question.
Video.
Are you going to play Hello There in your Blue Hero?
That's a spicy
card. I really like
it. I like it. I don't necessarily think it has a place in Chirrut.
Yeah, it might not be
like
in Chirrut because Chirrut's very linear. And he also, like the lightsabers kind of do the thing that, like, him with a lightsaber kind of neuters an enemy leader. Whereas, like, one reason I wanted to highlight Hello There is, like, I think that, like, because of the new, you know, your leader, the new deploy rule, like, the leader enters play or whatever now, like, you can just sandbag that card and, like,
If you build a board,
you just need to be able to attack with like a thing into their leader.
Yeah, I mean, I go ahead, Justin.
I was gonna say I'm sort of on a, not, it's certainly not there yet, but I built like a 3PO blue yellow control deck that just was all three drops.
Yep,
and just tried to draw cards, and I was like looking for three drops. I was like, oh, hello, there's perfect here.
Yeah,
and then my my win condition was like Satine. So, and it was 3PO to draw all these cards, and then it played all six discards. So it literally was like R2, 3PO, the new R2, old R2, 3PO, and then it was like discard and threes. And it was like six bounce spells. It was never, and Satine, and that was it. I forget what my leader
was. That sounds hot.
Yeah. I think it was Ray.
Get your Satines now, guys, before Justin breaks it. I think they're like $2.
Yeah, they're like $2. They're like the cheapest legendary. It's crazy.
$2. Uh-oh.
Steve, spec.
Speculation,
Log into my TCG player. They don't take AMAX, so you got to use my account.
I bought 100 seconds last set, and then I realized it was in the starter deck, so that was quite unfortunate. But I do think that at some point that card will spike.
Yeah.
Similar to how I think Aphra will eventually be good. We're just too young in the game. And like along those lines, I know I didn't want to chime in, but you talked a lot about the R2 and something to think about in the future is like I was really hoping to do yellow, because R2 kind of facilitates that combo if you can play him on two. But the five cost yellow guys are just so mopey.
Well, Plo Koon is insane.
But I do.
Not early though. Like
he's not early. But man, when you take control of the board and he's swinging face for six, it's pretty great.
Yeah, Mundi's cool.
He needs coordinate though, right?
Yeah.
You have to have so like.
Yeah. So like, and like coordinate is kind of like very. The opposite end of the spectrum of what you want to be doing with Yoda, right? You want your guys to be dying. You want their guys to be dying. You want to be triggering his ability. And as much as I love Chewbacca, like playing him early just seems kind of mopey. But I do think there is something there in the future to keep an eye on. Like, the more, it seems like every set we're getting one or two cards that add a piece of the puzzle, similar to how last pod you were talking about your infinite combo thing. While it's there, obviously it's not good yet. It's definitely something to keep an eye on as we go down the road. Because, I mean, look at, historically speaking, all the games that we've ever played. Like, there's always some sort of broken MPE environment.
Yeah, something slips.
Dr. Light versus, I can't tell you how many, like, Storm and other combos that they ended up banning in Magic. Like, things inevitably do get missed by the playtesters. And I do think there is, that will inevitably happen. So thinking out of the box as things go down the line is probably going to be pretty important.
Yeah, and I'll use the coordinate combo as a jumping off point to talk about Creeper Anakin. The thing I've been loving about this deck is that, you know, so many units are built where they have low attack, high HP, and Anakin damages the base to basically be able to trade, not trade, kill things without dying back.
Value trade, yeah.
Value kill. So you're value killing guys. You're leaving guys on the board. There's so many times where I'll open a turn, kill a guy, they'll play something, like, or basically what I'm trying to set up when I play this is to, like, not necessarily attack with everything I have. I want to make sure that I take initiative and get the value kill at the beginning of the next turn, even at the behest of damage, because when I can control the board, I know that I'm swinging for 6-7 with Plo Koon, or I'm swinging, you know, for 8-9-10-11 with Anakin when he flips, because I can afford to take a little damage to clear the board and have 4 or 5 guys out. Like, when I've been playing this deck, I've been having so many guys on the board that, like, when Anakin does come out, the game just ends right there because I'm able to do like 20 something damage.
Because you can play, you know, the droids are all 4 booty, and then favorable delegates 5 booty. I don't know if you play him, but just theoretically.
Yeah, I don't, but you could potentially do it. And, like, I've been really
some
liking
big booty ships too.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's, you can definitely play it so that no matter what, you have guys with big booty so they stay alive. And I've been really liking playing this control game because it lets me just slow, like, just roll out a red 3. Like, Grogu swung for 3 earlier today and killed a Bodhi. And didn't die back, so I had red three Grogu on the table.
Oh, right.
And then I could start then
the
he played
the legendary combo.
Yeah, the legendary, just like my red favorite scene in the movies. Grogu. But legit, I was swinging for 3 with Grogu into units and killing things. And then, you know, then all of a sudden Plo's coming out and he's swinging for 6 and living, and then he's swinging for 7 next turn. So, or he's swinging for 7 because of red 3. So I've really liked the deck. I think it's really cool, and I'm, shout out to Jetkai Starslider for showing it to me. We did a little coaching session on it, and I was like, holy crap, this deck is good, and started playing it.
It's hard.
And I'm really, really into it.
He hits hard. He's an interesting one. Like, it's Anakin in general. Like, this deck that you guys were cooking up is cool. But there is, like, another side of things where I'm like, I wonder if you can just, like, kill things, discard, whatever, and then, like, just really lean on just him, like, attacking for, like, 11 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Overwhelm, so you can actually, like, get him up big, maybe with a lightsaber or something, kill something with Overwhelm, and then Bravado, and then just swing for, like, 13
or whatever.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, Bravado. Yeah, that's a cool one.
I know that it's not the yellow, but he's Jedi, so he could wear the Jedi lightsaber. He'd get real crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good blue, big booty, low-attack guys like Yoda.
Yeah.
You know, like Yoda swinging for 4 into things, restoring 2. Not that you necessarily want to restore 2, but he completely offsets the damage that you do with Anakin.
Well, I think there's something to that. Like, I think it's okay to offset that, especially, like,
I know,
even
but
if
I don't know if you watched any of the streamed games.
No, I didn't get
this
to.
Week, but there were some in the TTI League games where people were not able to do lethal, but they get you to like 27, and then you're like, oh, I guess I'm swinging for 10 or whatever, 9, putting a hotshot blaster on him and swinging for 11, and like, good game. So it's fun, and it's an extra element of mathing out way in advance where you can't even come up short. And then if you can't get them within lethal for next turn, like, you basically have just lost. Like, he creates these end game states where your opponent can't figure out a way to win. It's really cool.
They're doing the work for you too.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. That's it for Meta Talk. We're going to do listener questions. We're up to 1,227 paid subscribers on Patreon. Yep. It's just it's just continued to grow. We thank every single one of you for subscribing. We do we try and do ton for like giving back to our subscribers. We just ordered how many extra XLs did you order, Justin? Like another couple hundred.
I ordered by weight, it was like 144 pounds, but it was I think it was like 200 XL shirts. And then we got the lady shirts.
We did lady shirts. I sent if you're a lady in the Discord, no matter what tier you're on, please message me. I will send you a shirt. I've been giving them out to all the ladies. Actually, got one to Yarn Solo yesterday because I saw Eagle One at the event. She sent me a picture. All our ladies have them, so cool. Pretty hyped to have these lady shirts out in the wild. But we have a section of our Discord where people can ask questions. So this is from Coda. As veteran players of CCGs, how would you compare your experiences in Star Wars Unlimited versus other games? How do you feel about the direction Set 3 is moving in?
I love this game. I've never made a YouTube for any other game. I haven't gotten mana screwed. I like that part.
Yeah, that's cool.
Just in terms of like being able to play the game. And I think I love Set 3 because I think that this is the set to draft. Like we have a local draft happening Tuesday. I can't wait. Like,
yeah, I'm hyped.
Save your packs. Like, this drafting this set is so sick. And like, we finally have enough product. Like, go draft with people. Like, if someone's new to the game, like, do sealed or whatever. Like, play limited. I think this set freaking rocks for limited. So like, I'm really hyped.
Professional poker player Zach Hall messaged me the other day asking me how this game is.
Oh, dude.
It's cool.
Wow. My buddy. Back.
He's going to be in Vegas a week before we are for the for the World Series of Poker. Yeah. If he makes final table.
I looked that up to see.
He was game 7 chip lead.
Yeah, he was up there.
2 years ago.
Or yeah.
Not this year. Before.
Go out a couple weeks early, Steve. Play in the World Series of Poker.
I'd have to quit my job.
Sounds great. I'll sponsor you.
I'm ready to do that.
Yeah, that'd be wild. Interesting. I'm spoiling a little bit right now.
We can go to 20 like 2 or 3 days a week and just play.
And honestly, 2 minutes ago, I was just thinking to myself when you're talking about the shirts and the mats, damn, these guys really need to stop spending money because your QuickBooks is killing me. But I could get behind that.
Yeah, I like how this kind of started off as a conversation of we try and like give everything back to the community. and it's like, oh, Steve, professional poker. Yeah, but no, I was people
we can
were asking
give back
me,
more. That's the
people were asking we me at the showdown, like, when are you gonna have a store? When are you gonna sell stuff? But like, I don't know. I'm just like trying to create a community here, you know? Like, just let's give people stuff that subscribe to us. It's great.
Yeah.
What are they looking to buy? If they need something, you get it.
Uncut sheets of Star Wars CCG. Oof.
Oh, I got one in the mail. Yeah. I think in terms of the question from Coda, I don't. If this game's not Magic, good and bad from that comment, right? Like, I don't. It doesn't resemble Magic in terms of OP. I don't think we'll get to that feeling of like a. We don't know what's on the horizon, but it doesn't feel like we're trending that way. It feels very similar to sort of games that have a lot of good thought behind them that are produced that are really fun, and they don't necessarily last for like 20 years, 30 years, like a Pokemon or Magic, but they have a window that's really, really exciting. All of us, Maddie, I think you were a little young for it, but we played Versus for 5 years, right, or 4 years, and they had a pro tour, they call it the pro circuit, but it was travel, and they had local tournaments, and they had great product, and sets were fun. It was a Marvel and DC game, and you could make a lot of money on it, and you could enjoy it, but then it lasted about 4 or 5 years. John Tata, our tournament testing buddy, he loves to talk about it. And I don't think that too many people have like bad feelings about Versus, and it's still something that a lot of people really enjoy talking about and having memories. TJ Holman was a player of that, Mike Dalton, those guys, Kim Caton. It feels a little bit like that. You know, obviously we're also older. But it feels like, hey, get in the wave, like get in. You know what I mean? Like get it, jump, join us because it is really, really
enjoy
good
right the
now. Ride. Enjoy the ride. You don't need to. We don't need assurance that this game is going to be something in 2030. Enjoy the next 3 or 4 years of this game. I think it's going to be really, really good. Then who knows what happens? And that's sort of where I'm at. It's not going anywhere in the short term.
The doomsaying
is
crazy.
A really good
like
game.
If you don't like the game, go find a game you like. There are millions
of games.
In the next
4 or 5 years, it's going to be really, really good.
There are
so
many games. If you like Star Wars and this is a well-designed game that's fun, like play it. If you want, like, I just can't stress this enough. If you're not enjoying it, like, there is a game out there for you. And, like, talk – if you're one of our subscribers, like, I'm sure someone in the Discord can help you find a game that
Maddie,
you love.
I just looked to what you sent me. That's insane.
That was made during this. Yeah.
Nice. All right, next question.
Don't send me anything.
It's in our channel.
Maddie's got it's Maddie's thumbnail. We're not going to spoil it, but it's his thumbnail for his next. All right,
this is a wild question that came up during Kyle's Utah PQ run when he won. Right at the end of the game, my opponent plays a cunning, pays the resources, declares tap two, and return one to your hand. I now have the card in hand, and we resolved actions. He then immediately realizes that he likely had lethal if he does the tap two plus four rather than bounce. Now, if this is locals, I'm going to let him take it back. Whatever, you win.
I'm old and soft.
But in the PQ, I did not. In my view, the action had been resolved. I go on to win the match. I'll say in my old Star Wars CCGs, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. Now that I'm old and soft, I'll admit I felt bad. My opponent was visibly upset. How would you have handled this situation? How do you handle takebacks? I will say, for league, like in terms of the rules, you are allowed to take back if no new information was gained. Right, I don't know. I don't know if like information. I don't know if like putting a card back into his hand counts as information. I would say like it's possible that it does, but he at least had an argument here.
Yeah, I mean, in old, like if this was like, you know, Magic or something that the spell resolved, right? You'd be done. But like Mike's point, there is that rule. So given that rule, you'd have to be at the table. You'd have to see did Kyle make a visible face that kind of tipped his opponent off that like he screwed up. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of tough ways to
how much time took place.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like if you notice your opponent do something suboptimally, it would behoove you to take an action or do something or move the ball forward. Because the rule is a little ambiguous there, because what is information? So in this case with Kyle, it's tough to be at that table, but I would have, you know, declared my next action as soon as possible or, you know, done something to further it if I noticed they made a mistake. However, if like it was immediate, it's in the rules, like he can change.
Right.
It is
now they didn't know that when, because that's a recent rule. Right, they didn't know that when that happened.
Yeah, it is only we know it because we've talked about this recently and we have access to Gandork. Shout out to Gandork answering questions like left and right.
It sounds like both of them probably realized that like it wasn't like something you could just take back, right? Like he had made his notions and he was asking like, can I sort of undo something that maybe the game is not necessarily allowing me to because I've already done it. And Kyle was like, oh no, it's too late, which is a, you know, a norm from some other games. I think this is tricky because there's just, you know, it's a new game. And then there's people that have played other games coming in that have their own individual norms. Like Mike and I have both played tons of different games and like just the social, I don't know if it's social, but it's like the norming conventions in the game when it comes to these exact situations. Like I didn't let someone take something back, that means I'm a jerk, versus I didn't let someone take someone back, that means I'm actually playing by the rules and I'm the one who needs to do this. I remember when I first played Magic, I loved the way that Magic does things. It's very by the book. Like I like the sort of strictness of it. Some people don't like that, right? I remember there was one time where like I basically like screwed up an action in Magic. And the guy was so apologetic that I messed up. And this was when I was new to Magic. And my mind was like, well, why don't you just let me take it back? But like, you can't do that because that's cheating. You know what I mean? Like that take back, because I had messed up, that would have then we're not playing by the rules because I had missed a trigger and that trigger was supposed to kill me or something like that.
Right.
In the exact context. So I think it changes within each game. I think this question will be a lot easier to answer a year from now in this context of this game, where it'll be like, oh yeah, you know what? No, that's not, like everyone kind of knows the terrain. And I think right now we don't necessarily know the terrain of this deck, of this like commentary and how this feels.
Right. The one thing I would add in to like my, what I was saying too, is like, there is a difference between like, as Kyle identifies, like there's a difference between local night, store showdown, PQ. Yeah. We are in the competitive realm. So like, other than the rule that I identified, if we pass that point, you can't really do takesy backsies, man. Like we are in competitive land.
Yeah. That's just Justin brought up the thing
let
that
me
I
ask you something.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike. Finish.
I was just gonna say that Justin brought up the thing that drives me the most crazy is like, I'm the bad guy because I'm the one that knows the rules. You know, like,
yeah,
like that, that always makes me feel bad. Like I spend a lot of time trying to make sure I know the rules as someone like with a voice in the community. I don't want to give people misinformation or bad rulings or whatever. And it's like, oh, so I know the rule. You're good asking me for a ruling when I'm two tables away in the middle of my game. But like, if I hold you to the rules, like now I'm the bad guy. Like I've always hated that. And like, it's a part of FFG games that, I know I've told the story, so I'll be very quick, but like in the top eight of Worlds with the game, like the lead designer as the head judge, like made me give a guy a take back because like at Destiny Worlds because I knew the rule and he didn't, and it was a bad, like the guy basically like suicided himself, and I was just like, well,
yeah, and
I guess,
playing
what's
tight
the point?
Like
what's
playing
the point
tight
of knowing the
is
rules?
Doing
yeah.
things correctly, and playing tight and doing things correctly should result in success, like the person
right.
wins. So if you're someone who's sort of not necessarily doing that, you know, what are you rewarding someone who's not playing tight to, you know, Does that matter less? And it shouldn't. We want it to matter, right? We want playing tight to matter because that's ultimately what we want in terms of competition.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Steve. What's your hypothetical here?
When you lost your virginity, were you able to take that back?
Oh, my God.
Enough said.
All right. Emperor Kane asks, counter decks. Just curious on your opinion of each of the main threat decks for the below. What's the main threat for Cad TT, Quinlan ECL, Sabine Green, Hanwen Yellow, and I don't know.
Well,
virginity losing.
Do you got one, Justin?
Wait, I'm trying to gather my thoughts.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll start. I'll take the first
one.
The decks that are good against.
Yeah,
this?
Like Cad TT, I played against last night in the finals, right? At my showdown, and like I thought I'd be good, but I didn't realize how insane the Django deck was against Cad. Like he has even more 1 HP guys than me. That means my pinging is even better, and like. The tapping of all the things, like he can never play a threat. If he gets to the Cad unit, it can be a problem, but
and
he just like,
can't keep
a board. And then if I ever hit Phantom, like I can put all the damage into Cad, but even when I didn't have Phantom, he couldn't ping me because I could suicide my own P38 to kill and tap something, which like it was just like super inoculated against Cad. So I think the Django red is a real problem for Cad.
I also think just control decks in general against the Cad deck. I know they have Ruthless Raider, but like, you know, ultimately your leader doesn't come out until turn five, and your ability that your leader has pings a unit. So like, if your opponent's playing like Power of the Dark Side or Passing, or sort of content to get to an Avenger type end game, Snoke end game, thinking along those lines. I also think like Super Laser Attack is annoying to play against as Cad, like that damage just goes right to him, kind of a big roadblock there. So like rampy control, like Akira against the Cad, I would not want to be Cad on that realm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think the big Sabine Green enemy is right now, Justin?
I think that in general, Sabine got to really sort of understand some lines in terms of like how to impact what it needed to beat. It's very good at adapting. So when you say like, hey, Boba, this is going to be our plan and you need to trade units and then sometimes you need to hit face. An open meta, while I like being the aggro, I do think there's going to be a lot of sort of mid-range decks like the Cad Tarkin Town, like some of the Quinlans, maybe some of the decks that are playing like the Rays. Rays, obviously, I think one that's tough, the blue Ray especially. But I guess my overall thought is that the mid-range decks with the arms race, they can actually sort of be trouble sometimes, especially like if they're killing your things. So I like Sabine a lot. So I'm struggling a little bit to say like what it's actually going to struggle against. I still really like Sabine. I think Cad, even the Tarkin Town thing, 25-point base, you can burn to the ground pretty quick. I think Han Yellow can be tricky. That's a matchup that's not easy to navigate if the opponent knows what they're doing. But I really like Sabine.
She good.
What are you thinking, Maddie?
So one thing for the Voss ECL deck does not like to see a Ruthless Raider. If they're able to pressure you and Ruthless Raider can stick around, there's not that many clean ways to remove it. Like, sure, you can waylay it. You could, you know, play your freaking, what's his name? You could play the Big Falcon, because that's six, and you could, like, ping it and take it out that way. But other than that, which is kind of a clunky card, you're playing, like, two, you know? That can be pretty problematic. So I think it had, like, some trouble into maybe, like, the Bossk deck that was kind of floating around in our playtesting group. And then
Chrono and I tested that this morning, too, with the Django, and the Django felt really good into it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, exactly, like, those kind of decks. Now, I think that the green hero, green-yellow hero decks can adapt.
No doubt.
And so that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm kind of leaning Han a little bit in some ways, is that, like, you can play 30-point base a little more cleanly because you don't have that line that you're trying to hit every time. And then, like, you can ramp a little bit out so you can get that, you know, the six-drop card out earlier or whatever. You know, you can get some of the ships out earlier if you need them. But then for Han Yellow, like, one thing I saw in our playtesting, like, just barning games, is it seemed like that's where the Voss ECL deck shined a little bit more. I don't know if you guys saw that in your testing, but it seemed like, you know, when you can interact with them with, like, good units like that, it was kind of tough.
Yeah, I think Alex has, you know, made some post in the Yellow Han thread just this morning about, like, how hard it is with all these, like, ECL mid-range decks kind of rising to prominence. It's really hard to navigate with Han Yellow right now.
Justin, are you frozen? Or,
no, he's just stoic.
Wow, you could be one of those, like, we could paint you silver and, like, put you on a
bench. Like the prank ones, like the locker room.
You did not
move
for so long. I was staring at you. I was like, is he frozen? Wow, that's pretty good.
All right. He's Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He became invisible.
I mean, there's Zordon.
All right,
you kept this in.
Last question. Does Poggle, in fact, fuck? Now that he's hit the felt, is the initial assessment correct? Is Poggle amazing? I will say he's a must kill for me.
You don't like him, Justin?
I think
he's on my most overrated.
Wow. I will say I never get him when I play Palp, ever. And if I do get him, they kill him immediately. And when I see Poggle, I kill him immediately.
Yeah, you just got to take him out. It's like a tech. Like, if he gets to live, he's pretty good. Yeah, I think he's still good. I just think, like, it's going to take a little bit of time to, like, develop some of those decks. I think it's going to be a lot of trial and error with your Dooku's and with, you know, like, creating, like, a Palp deck that works. But I think that, you know, he's got all the good taglines. He makes a friend. I'm still high on the Pogs. But nice. He definitely has a huge target on his back.
Nice.
Right. And for those that don't know, that's Poggle F's is a what are they called? A sticker? A common sticker in our Discord.
Yeah. Anytime he comes.
All right, let's get off that screen with the F-bomb.
All right. Well, that's
it. R-rated
podcast. Well, you know what? It's after dark. It's 5 at night and in daylight savings, so
Tarkin,
it's after
dark. We got to do that again. The after dark stream.
I'll tell you. After triple dark. Tarkin. Next weekend, because Tarkin could be really well positioned if the meta goes wide.
I think things are going to get weird. That's another thing too, is, like, I think wide decks, I know that we're on the thing, but, like, I think you can go wide. Like, Django can't tap everything if you play, like, Han ECL and just
If he's flipped, he can
out a bunch of stuff. I'm just saying, like, there are definitely ways to attack this meta that we all are trying to figure out, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, this
but
is
I'm
great.
Excited to play this Django deck. It looks dope.
Yeah, it is dope. It's pretty savage.
Ahead. Looking forward to that deck tech, Mike. Tune in this week for the deck tech, right?
Yeah, tomorrow. I mean, if you're listening to this, maybe. It could be Monday, and you just have to go click on that one, too. Maybe you already watched it. Cool. All right, well, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you in 2 weeks with another podcast. Until then, keep it plugged in here for all the Star Wars Unlimited hotness.
Booyah. 21, our podcast can drink now.